Listener-supported KFUO invites you to listen live to our annual Share-a-thon. It's your opportunity to show your support to KFUO. If you can't join us live, please prayerfully consider supporting us by calling 314-996-1518 and asking about our giving levels. You can also click the Give Now button on our webpage. Share-a-thon 2017, April 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It's been a little while since we've had an update on what's going on at College Hill right here in St. Louis and the work of Lutheran Housing Support and their partners. Joining me in studio today to provide an update, our friends from Lutheran Housing Support, Nicole Ridley, Chief Executive. Nicole, welcome back.
Thank you.
Glad to have you in studio, and always love hearing about what's going on in College Hill. And also the Reverend John Albers, Director of Resource Development for Lutheran Housing Support. John, welcome back.
Thank you.
Glad to have you in studio, finally. I think every time we've talked, you're always on the run, always out serving somewhere. So nice to have you in the studio today talking about Lutheran Housing Support. For our listeners not familiar with the work of Lutheran Housing Support, Nicole, can you give us just a quick overview or rundown of the history and the work? What is the work of Lutheran Housing Support today?
So Lutheran Housing Support, we began our official operations in 2007, and we were created to support congregation, social ministries, and districts in their desire to improve their communities where they are. And so we provide resources and help them identify resources within their community and provide guidance and expertise that kind of helps them conceptualize and implement a project that they have in mind that would assist them in improving their community.
And when you say project they have in mind, give us an idea of what some of those some examples of what projects like this might look like.
So it could be anything as small as the installation of a community garden, or as large as the acquisition of a vacant and abandoned building, or the restoration of an existing building that they own to provide housing or any official unmet need that exists within their community. An unmet need as it relates to housing or a community and economic associated activity. Yes.
Andy, I like to say when I talk to congregations, we fill an expertise gap.
Yep.
Congregations have all sorts of expertise within their congregations or their social ministry organization. And sometimes they have all but one little thing that they need. And so our job is to fill that expertise gap. And sometimes it's simply access to capital. And they got all the expertise they need right there, but they don't have the capital. Or they may have the capital, but they don't know what they're really doing to get the project underway, and we have the expertise. So our job is to fill that expertise gap. And in every place it's different. So I really like the idea that Lutheran Housing Support provides that in a customized way. So every project is different in the same way that every community, every congregation, every organization that we help out there is different because their needs are very different.
And in all that we do, to add to that, what we'd like to see, what kind of sets us apart from other organizations that do this kind of work across the United States is that whatever we do, the work that we do leads to Word and Sacrament Ministry. So it's kind of the housing and community development mission of mercy work within the communities that we serve or that we assist in our and help in our congregations and LCMS partners serve.
And right in the heart of College Hill, a neighborhood here in St. Louis, is St. Paul's Lutheran Church.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about where the work began with St. Paul's and Lutheran Housing Support in the College Hill neighborhood.
So probably around 2007, St. Paul's was just a little bit concerned about the disinvestment that had been taking place in the community, and it was on a continuing decline. And they lacked the expertise, but they had the desire to want to do something about the decline that was taking place. So they contacted our offices and asked, you know, could you assist us in finding ways to improve this community? And help stabilize and bring it back to where it used to be. And so St. Paul's led the way. They made the inquiry and the request, and then they became our partner in the work that we are now engaged in for some 10 years now.
Having visited St. Paul's Lutheran Church, College Hill, I would describe the congregation, well, it's a historic congregation. It's been around for many years, but also a a determined congregation. Some of the key members who are involved in this are very determined to continue to be a beacon of hope and to continue to keep St. Paul's a word and sacrament ministry in the heart of the neighborhood, so that the gospel of Christ remains present in this College Hill neighborhood. How would it, anything else you would add or say about the St. Paul's congregation?
Well, not only about St. Paul's congregation, but the neighborhood of which they are a part. St. Paul's and College Hill is not unlike congregations across the country and neighborhoods across the country where disinvestment, depopulation, and decay has happened over periods of many, many, many years. And the neighbors, the congregation has seen it happening around them. And they have a strong desire to not only serve in the middle of that community, but rebuild the community and the neighborhood where they are. And they have two choices, really. They can decide to give up and they could leave, like so many of the neighbors and the businesses, and they could simply close up, or they could find a way to reinvest in the neighborhood around them. And that's really where the phone call to Lutheran Housing Support and the people that were involved in Lutheran Housing Support at that time especially started up. And so it's that kind of investment that Lutheran Housing Support and the College Hill Neighborhood Revitalization Initiative is all about. It's making a different kind of a choice and saying we envision a different future for our neighborhood and community, and therefore a different imagination for not just our congregation and our ministry, but for our neighborhood and community as well.
What are the successes we've seen thus far at College Hill?
So the successes, I guess it really has to do with the fact that it's a multifaceted initiative that involves taking a neighborhood and then even narrowing it down further than just that neighborhood and starting in just a couple of blocks and determining with the residents of that neighborhood, what is it that is truly needed in this neighborhood? And what is it going to take to imagine a different kind of future? And then making a long-term commitment. So as Nicole mentioned, 2007, so that's a decade now. Mm-hmm. And saying we're in it for the long haul. It's not going to be turned around in a year or two, but it's for the long haul. And saying what are those pieces that are going to be there? So the successes. One, it starts with what's technically called blight elimination. And that's simply saying taking and at least in some cases wiping the slate clean, getting rid of that which is simply causing ongoing decay, taking the houses and the structures that are simply falling down and removing them. It's taking the places that is drawing in the crime and drawing in the problems and taking over those structures, which is what Lutheran Housing Support has continued to do through when the city of St. Louis is called the Land Reutilization Authority, and taking ownership of those structures, investing in that property, tearing down the abandoned structures, wiping it clean, and getting it ready for reinvestment. That's kind of part one, and step one is that. Step two is reinvesting in the people. And that involves owner-occupied repair and of the owner-occupied homes that, that are there. So in neighborhoods like College Hill, and College Hill is special in many ways, and it's not special in lots of other ways, in that about half of the homes are owner-occupied and half of the homes are renter-occupied. So it's helping the people who are there and want to stay there invest in their homes. So owner-occupied repair and stabilization is the other piece. And we're up to about 120 or so homes that wow. we've done over a period of over the last 5, 6, 7 years. It's kind of hard to keep track, actually, because you get so busy in doing it that some of the records get lost along the way. But best we can figure, it's about 120 homes, and that's anywhere from a couple of thousand to $7,000-$8,000 of investment into a home.
And what does an investment like that mean? What types of repairs have we seen on the homes that are owned by the occupants?
So those homeowners that generally are there, that stayed, they are now elderly and have no resources in most instances to take care of some of the critical repairs. Mm-hmm. So we try to, at all costs, at least, you know, on the surface, take care of any critical repairs that need to be done, such as plumbing, electrical, anything that's health and safety related. So those become the priority. There's usually roof repairs or replacement. And so those are the things that you want people to live comfortably and be safe. And so those are the repairs that usually take precedence mm-hmm. above all. And cosmetic is usually last, but then we usually have crews come in, volunteer crews come in and help with some of the cleanup and cosmetic repairs.
Like one we just we're just reporting on today, a crew came in and replaced the front sidewalk and steps to a home. Well, is that cosmetic or is that safety? I would argue it's safety.
Both. Yeah.
Because
both.
Somebody
both.
Had
sure.
both, but
sure.
it helps the streetscape as mm-hmm. well. But this is a home where I saw the before pictures. The family could not safely enter their home through the front door. And so the front steps are now repaired in a way that the homeowner could enter their home safely. But it's also improving the neighborhood, because it's improving the neighborhood in a way that you drive down the street and somebody wants to invest in the neighborhood. So the third step is the new homes. The Nazareth Homes development is investing on the property that's cleared through blight elimination, right? Now you've created a place in which somebody wants to invest in the neighborhood, and you create new homes in the neighborhood in which, gosh, before the Nazareth Homes development, I don't know that there's been a new home, maybe one or two in the last 20 years that has been built in this North St. Louis neighborhood. And so you create new homes in the neighborhood, which in turn creates economic development and an interest in creating investment in that neighborhood. After that, then there's other infrastructure that can be created. And one of the projects that we have in the hopper ready to go in this next year is creating a new pocket park in the community, with a new play space in the community. The only place right now in the neighborhood that kids have to go to play, other than just in the street, is at the school playground. And the school playground gets locked at night. And so in the spring, as the kids want to get out and play with their friends and their family, where are you going to go? So here later on this fall, hopefully if everything comes together and all the funding finally lines up the way it's supposed to, and we're very close on that one, this new playground will be opened up for the kids in the neighborhood. And all of this is happening in a very concentrated place. I liken it to the metaphor of dropping a huge boulder right in the middle of a pond. And those ripples are going to start to go out from there into the rest of the neighborhood. And those ripples that are actually the great part about our investment in the neighborhood, spurred on by this initial action by St. Paul Lutheran Church, finally, later on this summer and into the fall, we're actually going to be taking on a sponsoring with the residents and other stakeholders the development of a more comprehensive community development plan. And that's going to answer the question of what next? After this really initial, very, very targeted investment in the neighborhood, the next question is, what next? What next to bring in new economic development? What next to spur on even more business investment? What other partners can come into this North St. Louis neighborhood to create an even brighter future for this once very proud and very vibrant neighborhood? So that's what the multifaceted, comprehensive plan that's been building for a decade. Well, it's been building for more than a decade. It's been building for decades and decades. It's just since 2007 that Lutheran Housing Support was invited in by the people of St. Paul Lutheran Church and other stakeholders.
Aside from the residents and the church and the school, what else is there in College Hill? Just maybe, are there many businesses? I don't remember last time I was there seeing a lot of business in College Hill. Maybe just one or two, but I didn't venture through the whole neighborhood. I should have. I was short on time while I was there.
There are a few businesses. They have a whole commercial kind of district mm-hmm. of small businesses. There is a PNC branch. It's not exactly in College Hill. It's like a block away from College Hill. But PNC Bank has a branch there. There are other community service organizations, Humanitree, which is one of our RSOs. They are physically located in College Hill. There is a Bryan Hill School. It's elementary school. They have been a very active partner. And so there are other community organizations that serve the residents in the community. And there's a business community. And then there's some small businesses as well. But there should be more. And so this neighborhood plan or this comprehensive development plan will at least provide some guidance and some direction on how do we encourage that kind of investment for those other stakeholders to want to invest mm-hmm. in this community.
Are there other areas where we've seen successes, even small successes in College Hill?
Well, I'd say which we neglected to talk about, which is huge, is our safety initiative. We have implemented several different strategies to help improve either the perception of safety and actually the real safety challenges that we have in the community. And so we have employed several different strategies over several years. And it has contributed to, since we've been around, about a 40% decrease in crime. And that's of all types of crime. But a 40% decrease in crime over the time that we have been involved and our partners have been involved. We have built, so far, 7 homes. 6 are sold.
Wow.
And one still serves as a model home. So we invite anybody to come down and go through our model home. It is beautiful. And but since we've started building, and that has been only since 2013, mm-hmm. Since we've been building in 2013, we've seen appreciation and appraise values of about 25%.
What did the breaking of ground for new buildings do at that time? What was the reaction of the neighborhood? When we started breaking ground, it started building, it started seeing new homes go up. And then when a new home was built and up for sale, what was the reaction of the neighborhood at that time?
I would say giddy. So there have been lots of organizations that come to the community and over many, 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 many years because there are resources that have been available to help improve communities, and they have made lots of empty promises. And so we were then viewed as just another organization. Mm-hmm. Although St. Paul's is there and has a physical presence, you know, there was just this apprehension.
Sorry.
And so, of course,
mm-hmm. you've seen other organizations with good intentions, but not a lot of follow through.
Right.
I understand.
Well, in fact, in 2013, there were three homes that were built. And in 2013, the groundbreaking giddiness and excitement and joy. And if that was on the corner of College and Condy Streets in College Hill. 2015 comes, and in this last year, we've built 4. And so you do the math. From 2013 to 2015, there's a whole 18 months there of pretty much not much activity going on. Mm-hmm. So even Lutheran Housing Support starts to look a little bit like, well, are we just like everyone else, or are we different from everyone else? We looked pretty good there in 2013. We tore down a lot of buildings. We made a lot of headway. But we made a lot of promises. Mm-hmm. Now in 2015, 4 new homes come in. And I was, that's when I had the blessing of coming on board with Lutheran Housing Support. And I was able to come to several community meetings. And the joy that was evident at those meetings that, yeah, now this really means something.
Right.
Now there's 4 new homes coming in. And that's why this next coming year, when we have 4 more homes coming on board. Now, we're not just going from 3 houses of the promised 14. Now we got 7 houses of the promised 14. Now we're going to be at 11 houses of the promised 14. Now we got neighbors that are coming on board saying, mm-hmm. Oh, you're one of those groups. You're not just a group that is making promises about the future. You're a group that's coming in that
right.
is actually making a difference in the neighborhood.
And I think I shared with you, Andy, even on a another I think interview that we had, there's been some excitement about who the Lutherans are and that we stay firm and we honor our commitments. And even one quote, Carol Crenshaw, one of the long-term resident, she said, you know, we've received and we've had lots of people come in and then the Lutherans came. Mm-hmm. And they are walking hand in hand with us and transforming this community in the way that they said they would. So,
and that takes time. That takes time and building relationships. It's not something you just come in and do overnight and flip. Something overnight, but rather building relationships. So that progress from 2007 to 2013, and then seeing those new houses, and then 2015 again, seeing more new houses, I think just builds on that foundation that's already been built. So what then are we looking forward to on April 28th? We have another groundbreaking. What are we breaking ground for this time?
Yeah, so the big joy coming up on April 28th is groundbreaking of the Blair Avenue homes. So there's, if you're not familiar with the College Hill neighborhood, I invite you out on April 28th to get more familiar. The specific target area of the Nazareth Homes development is on the corners of College, Condi, and Blair Streets. And the homes so far have been built on College and Condi. And then one block over is Blair Avenue. And if you go to our Facebook page, you can see a couple of photos of before, thanks to Google Street View. You can see the houses that were there before. And blight elimination wiped them clean. And now we have this clean slate in which over the next year, 4 new homes will be built on April 28th at 10 a.m. Come out and be a part of the joy of breaking ground on the Blair Avenue homes. 4 homes this next year are for sure being slated for construction. And these homes are not particularly designed to be, they're designed to increase the value of the housing stock in the neighborhood. They're designed to fit into the proud history that was the College Hill neighborhood. So brick fronts on the homes, and several of them are going to be 2-story homes that really do remind you of the historic homes that mm-hmm. have been in the neighborhood. And so they will sit up top of actually Blair Avenue property, have just a little bit of a rise to them. So as you come down the street, you can already kind of imagine these homes sitting up on top of the hill and drawing your attention. I don't think you'll be able to see them from Interstate 70, but it won't take much to drive down Blair Avenue from Grand and then see them sitting up tall and proud on top of the hill on Blair Avenue.
For those in the St. Louis area, those may be looking to move to the St. Louis area, give us an idea in terms of accessibility to the College Hill neighborhood from some of the major interstates and making your way around St. Louis. Is College Hill a convenient location in terms of getting to the interstates?
Yeah, so you come out of downtown, you come down on Interstate 70 as you're coming out of downtown, north on Interstate 70, and you're getting off on Grand, off of Interstate 70, back towards downtown, I guess. Mm-hmm. And shortly you'll come to the right before you come to the traffic circle, you'll get to Blair and you'll be able to turn to the right and come down Blair. And before you know it, you'll end up at the construction site. It couldn't be easier to get to these particular homes.
So I'm sorry. So it is close to downtown. And it's very close to the airport as well. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And for those who have been tracking through the big economic development news in St. Louis, it's also very conveniently located to the new NGA site, development site in the North City neighborhoods. So it's within just about a 5-minute drive at the most of the new NGA site that's going to be being built at the end of the San Musial Bridge there in North City neighborhoods. So for those who want to be conveniently located to the NGA site, it's going to be perfectly situated to those as well.
We have just about a minute left with the groundbreaking on Friday, April 28th. That's at 10 a.m. Is that right?
Correct.
All is happening at the groundbreaking on Friday the 28th?
The groundbreaking is going to be gathering all sorts of dignitaries, we hope, from the city and from the church. And then following the groundbreaking, tour of the targeted neighborhood, as well as the model homes and the exterior of the completed homes, simply because we don't build houses and hope they sell. We build homes for the homeowners that have already purchased those homes. Mm-hmm. So up and down the neighborhood and see the impact that we've already had in those neighborhoods. So I encourage you to come out. And for those of you who have really busy schedules, we'll have you on your way no later than 11:30 at the latest on that morning.
Do we need to RSVP?
You don't have to, but we sure would love to make sure you RSVP so we can get you any more detailed information like directions or parking or any kind of that kind of help. It'd be great so we can make sure. So just send me an RSVP, john.albers@lcms.org. That way I can answer any questions ahead of time.
john.albers@lcms.org. For the groundbreaking of Nazareth Homes College Hill on the Blair Avenue groundbreaking Friday, April 28th. Thanks to our friends from Lutheran Housing Support, Nicole Ridley. Thanks so much for being here this morning.
And thank you for inviting us.
The Reverend John Albers. Thanks so much for being my guest this morning.
Thank you, sir.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.